Last week we started looking at community, and I told you that I'm taking a bit of a different slant. And we kind of looked at how much of consumerism has entered even the church and our hearts sometimes, and how we pick things and what really community is about. And I did say that it's my heart to really unpack a bit of community again in this term, and as long as the Lord allows us, and we want to flow with the Holy Spirit on that. But today I want to touch on a subject that I think is something that is maybe neglected and misunderstood sometimes. So this morning we're going to look at this word, devoted. So I just typed out the Greek word there for you, proskartereo, and really what it means. So this morning I want us to look at this word, devoted. And we see this word the very first time. We see it in the book of Acts. We see it in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42. And maybe if you can, Lynette can put that verse up for us in Acts 2. And last week we looked at it and quickly tried to unpack some of the things that makes up healthy church, healthy community. What does it look like? And we want to dive into some of these this morning as well. But this, the essence is that there is a devotion. And this is how it starts. And they say, the Bible says this, and they, now who's the they? It's the people that got saved. Literally 3,000 people. Peter under the anointing, the Spirit is poured out. And we see the birth of the church. And we just celebrated a month or two ago, we celebrated that. We celebrated Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit. We had meetings together with other churches and we celebrated that. Why? Because it's the birth of the church. It's the birth of healthy community for the first time. Something is birthed and people are coming together. We see it in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. The outworking of that. But now Peter is preaching and under the Holy Spirit's guidance, and people are cut to the heart and they say, what must we do? Peter, what must we do? And Peter says these words. He says, save yourselves from this wicked generation. You need to turn to Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. You need to receive Him. But you also need to be baptized. And you need to be filled with the Spirit. And that's exactly what they did. And immediately, because you must understand, there weren't these chapters and verses. So immediately, these guys, they started devoting. It wasn't something that Peter had to give them a class on. He didn't have to do a 6-month seminar. You know, from seminar, you become Yiltemalnar. You know, it just, that's a freebie. Okay. So, but we want to go from seminar to seminar and we want to be taught. But there's just something that we need to just do. That's what they did. They devoted themselves. There wasn't a class for this. There wasn't a stirring up. And, Peter had to preach another 20 series, sermon series on how to. No, they just devoted themselves. And I want us to look at this word. What does proskartereo actually mean? So it comes from two words. It comes from pros, which means towards or to interact with. Okay. Or towards. And katereo means to show steadfast strength. It comes from the word kratos. And if you've been in church circles, you've heard that word before. You've heard dunamis and you've heard kratos. So it means strength. So that's showing a strength towards. Basically, it means that you keep on keeping on. You persist. You keep on doing the same thing over and over. You don't stop. So devotion is really a very simple thing. Is I make a decision to persist in this. It means to be zealous. To be loyal. It shows affection. It's faithfulness. It's to be constant. To give up or appropriate to or concentrate on a particular pursuit. Who's dated? Who's dated in this church? Who's married and you've dated your wife or your husband? There was a pursuit at one point. from one of the parties. Hopefully it's from the guy, okay? Hopefully. Just hopefully. But hey. Whatever works for you, works for you. But there's a devotion that people show before they get married. There is something of a pursuit, and I'm pursuing you. There's something of, I want to show just everything. I want to persist till I marry you. And that for me is something that we sometimes lack as a people. Because if we don't see the results, if we don't see the things that we think we should be seeing, the fruit or that we're expecting, we just say, oh, it's not working. You see, but in the church, people understood that there is a devotion, a strong persistence. I keep on keeping on. A pursuit, an occupation. There's a purpose, a cause. It's as if you do this by a vow that you say yes. Can you see how devotion is even in marriage? You make a vow to one another to be set apart. And that's a beautiful thing as well. It's this word consecration, to be set apart. And really, in essence, it's the ultimate is holiness. And the word holiness means otherness. That's such a beautiful thing if you look at that. Because if God calls us to be holy, He says you look different. You're going to be different. The world's not going to recognize you. They're going to look at you with different eyes. And they're going to say, but what's different about you? Because of holiness. So now it makes sense. And I've said this before. Now this makes sense if you look at the book of Revelation. And the angels are flying around God. And what are they singing? I said to you, you need to learn the words of this song. Because you're going to sing it for eternity if you're a Christian. Three words. Holy, holy, holy. And every time they fly around God, the elders, they throw down their crowns. And what do they say? They say, holy, we see something different of you, otherness. They fly around Him and they go, otherness, otherness. Oh, holy, holy, you're so, every time I look at you, there's something different about you, God. I'm never bored. For eternity, we'll be able to say that about Him and never exhaust it. Why? It's that consecration. It's the same thing that we're different. We're other. We're the others. We look different. That's why the Bible says we're aliens. You know, people are looking for it in weird places. They must just come to church and see aliens. We're aliens. Don't quote me out of context, please. Just okay. Go tell everybody, oh, that church is full of aliens. Okay. They'll put you in those little jackets, those, you know, die nachtkleertjies met mokies, wat so, give yourself so a hug. Yeah. It means to assign, to apply, to dedicate. That's really what it means. And most of the time that the word used, devotion is used, it's got a religious connotation. That we're devoted to the word, we're devoted to something. But like I said, the ultimate is that it means that I persist to continue to do something with intense effort. Christianity, I want to tell you, takes some effort. To be a Christian is a daily thing. Every single day, I need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every day, I need to renew my mind. Every day, I need to make these decisions. Every day, I have life and death before me. And then the Lord is gracious and He says, choose life. Every day, I need to make a concerted effort. Same way as with marriage, I need to make a concerted effort every single day that this thing works. You don't sit there and think that it's just going to be all good. I said yes, he said yes, it's all good now. No, it's not. It's not. It's a concerted effort. If I just allow my kids to do whatever they want to do, it's a concerted effort that I train up my children in the ways of the Lord. It's an effort. And I want to say this, with the possibility of the implication that there might be difficulty. I want to say this to you this morning, that Christianity, there might be difficult times. If anybody told you, please go back to them, tell them, Pastor Stefan said that you lied to me. But if anybody told you, it's going to be an easy ride. It's going to be smooth. It's going to be all roses. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be your best life right now. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be. Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, there's going to be suffering. People are going to hate you because you love me. Because you're different. People are going to actually look at you and they're going to despise you. So sometimes we need to count the cost. These guys in the book of Acts, they counted the cost. And they made a concerted effort. They decided in their hearts to persist. They decided, I am going to keep on keeping on. Even though I don't like the person in my community, even if I don't like the person sitting next to me, and even if I've been ripped off in town or whatever by that person, where must they come? They must come to church. Where should they go? If you say, well, I don't want to meet them in church. I can't go to that church because my enemy is there. Well, Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, come on, guys, come on. There's neither Greek nor Jew. When you come here, there's no master and slave. There's no nothing. You're all equal here. We're all equal here. We're all children of God. I don't care if you're a boss here and your worker is sitting next to you. I don't care. Right here, this is the equalizer. He makes us all new. And each one of us, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. We need to persist. Okay. Now I want to look at, quickly, two things, and then we should be done. What must we devote to? The Bible tells us specifically there's certain things we need to devote to, and then there's certain things we should never devote to. So, what's the first thing that we see? Can we get that Acts scripture up? First one that we see is, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. At that moment, that is what they had. They never had a New Testament. They had the Old Testament. So there was the unpacking of the apostolic guys. They were talking about the scriptures that they read and interpretations and also some of the letters that was written. So at that stage, there was the apostles' teaching. So what is the fundamental thing that you need to look at when you come to church? Is you need to look for the Word of God. You need to look for the Word of God. But I also want to say with that, linked with that, you cannot have the Word without the Spirit. Because the letter will kill you, but the Spirit brings life. If I only preach just the hard facts and the Word, it will be brutality. If we only have Holy Spirit meetings and we all flop around here and everything, that's sentimentality. But you want reality. You have to combine the Word and the Spirit together. You've got to bring the two together. So you're looking for that. The old church used to call it orthodoxy. That's what we bring back. Doesn't mean you're Greek Orthodox or that. It means orthodox. It means the Word of God is being taught. And that is exactly what these guys devoted themselves to. But I also want to say that we continue by submitting ourselves to apostolic input. And this morning we have apostolic input here. They're sitting with us. When Will comes, when Andrew comes, when the guys come, there's apostolic input. That's why when we go down to Cape Town for 412 conferences, there's apostolic. We're devoted to that. We give ourselves. We persist. Do you think it's easy to climb 400 kilometers, drive down 5 hours, screaming kids in the car, everything, stay in somebody else's house in Cape Town? It's all fun and roses. No, it's not. But you keep on persisting. You keep on keeping on. And you know what? The Bible promises me that even if I receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, which we also dedicate ourselves to as the apostolic, the prophetic, the fivefold ministry, But ultimately, if I receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, I receive a prophet's reward. So I want to say the same thing is if you receive an apostle in the name of an apostle, you receive that reward. Honestly, we're dedicated. That's the one thing. The next thing is, what do we give ourselves to? Fellowship, koinonia. It's a beautiful word. They gave themselves to fellowship. And it means to share what we all have in common. That's the basis of fellowship. So what we have, we share amongst ourselves. That's really what it means. Fellowship, koinonia. It means partnership. It means community. So that's what we have. We have community consists of two words, common unity. That's what it is. I said to you last week, for those of you who don't, you weren't here, A.W. Tozer wrote this beautiful piece and he said this. He says, how is it that 100 pianos, when they tune to one tuning fork, they all play in unison together? We didn't tune to one another, we tuned to the tuning fork. We tuned to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's what we do. So unity comes when 100 people like this, in this place, when we all look to Jesus and we worship Him together. We don't try and work unity out amongst us. Unity will happen because we're looking to Jesus. We're united in Christ. That's what happens. Fellowship. That's what we dedicate ourselves to. Breaking of bread. Last week we broke bread together. But I want to say, it's not just breaking of bread as in the sacrament, which is another thing that we dedicate ourselves to as a people. Orthodoxy. That's the one thing I use now. I want to use another big word. Ordinances. Okay. I want to say that we submit ourselves to that which the Lord left us with. When He says, as often as you do this, as often as you get together, remember me. Remember me. We're putting the body of Christ back together again. We're remembering it. That's what we do. When every time we come to the body, we come to the table and we partake in the bread and we partake in the wine or juice or whatever we choose to use, ultimately, we come together. There's a unity. But we persist in doing that until He comes back and fetches us. We persist in that. But I want to say it's not just the table of the Lord that we do once a month. I want to encourage you that within your communities, when you invite people over for dinner, do it there. That's exactly where Jesus did it. They had dinner together. Picture the scene. John and James is lying on his chest asking and, you know, sons of thunder, you know, talking to Jesus. And Judas is sitting on the other side of the table counting the money. How much did this meal cost us, you know? Everybody is doing something around the table, but they just had a meal together. And there's a piece of bread and there's a cup of wine. And he breaks the bread and he says, this is my body broken. This is the sign of the new covenant. And they're like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We don't understand. He says, you will understand very soon. So he says, whenever you do this, whenever you get together like this, and you braai, and you get a braai broekie, breekie braai broekie saam. Okay? We do that because we're eating together, breaking of bread together, and we persist in that. Get out of your comfort zones maybe this week. Invite somebody for dinner. I want to challenge you this week. What's the next thing that we actually devote ourselves to is prayers. Jurgens has got a men's prayer meeting Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays for the last 2 years. There's a persistence in that. I want to encourage the guys. 5:30 in the morning at his house, at the Heilige Spookhuis. Okay. It's not the Spookhuis, it's the Heilige Geesthuis. Ask him about that. Okay. Acts chapter 6 and Corinthians. Let's quickly read this. It says this. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. But we will devote. We will persist ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Those are two things. I'm going to look at the next one now. Those are two things that we need to persist in. We need to persist and devote ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. I think it was either Luther or Murray, I can't remember, I always forget, that said, a Christian without prayer is like a body without breath. It's like if you don't breathe, how can you call yourself a body? It's the same as a Christian that don't pray. It's what we made for, to communicate with our Father. Not just us talking to Him, but Him talking to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5, devotion. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. It's a devotion, you see that? This is one thing the Lord is calling us to, a devotion to prayer. And sometimes we'll call corporate prayer meetings and we'll have prayer times. And if you ask me, when do we have corporate prayer meetings? Every Sunday morning at half an hour before church. A group of guys standing in a circle out there, they don't play hacky sack or something like that there in the front. They're actually praying. Okay. We're not holding hands and swaying and singing kumbaya. We're praying. We're praying for the service. We're doing all these things. Let's do it. But that's not what we do. We pray. We have a prayer meeting. Sometimes we'll call, as leadership, we'll call prayer meetings and fasting times. But I also want to encourage you, get involved in community. Because there we pray as well. Some nights we just pray. Some nights we just fellowship. Some nights we just worship. Some nights we just read the word. Ministry of the word, we saw that one now in Acts chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 16:15 says this. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Whoa. Have you seen that one before? That we actually keep on. I persist in helping the saints. I persist. Is there something that I can help you with? Do you need a meal to be made for you? Somebody had a baby in the church. We help them with meals. Somebody needs to move somewhere. We want to help. Bring buckies. Bring whatever you can. Bring your trailer. Bring whatever. We're going to help. Service to the saints. Don't be unapproachable. Be hospitable. Service to the saints. 1 Timothy 4 verse 13. And I must say, this is something that I would like to see happen a lot more. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture. When was the last time you came to church that somebody read large portions of Scripture to you? That's all. And then we go home. Need to get somebody with a really beautiful voice, you know. Let him just read this. Just read the Scriptures over us. There's nothing as amazing as that. But devote, he says, until I come. Devote yourself, persist in to the public reading of Scripture. But also persist to exhortation and teaching, building people up. There you see it. Exhortation, encouraging believers. Don't stop encouraging believers. Don't stop in that. Keep on keeping on. Keep on encouraging one another until the day comes. So when was the last time you sent a little encouraging letter to somebody? A WhatsApp, a little message, a little voice note, something. Say thank you. Yeah, I see the growth in you. I see within you how Christ has worked within you. It's beautiful. I see how you deal with your kids. I see how you deal with your wife and your husband. Or something. Let's encourage one another. Teaching. That's something that comes naturally for me, but for some of us, it don't. It's not coming naturally. When was the last time you were devoted to teaching? Not just hearing teachings, but actually teaching. I'm not trying to tell you this to teach your son to drive the car or something like that. I'm talking about the Word of God. When was the last time you shared something? Again, within community, you can do that. Go to your community leader and say, God has showed me something out of the Bible. Let's talk about it. Let's do this. And then Titus chapter 3 verse 8 and verse 14 says this. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to
to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. How do you think the church, and one of the things that we see in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we see that they had favor in their town, in their city, in their area of influence that the Lord's given them. And that the Lord added to their numbers. Why? Because it is profitable and excellent for people if we do good works towards them and help them. And I'm not just talking, I'm really not just talking to the saints. It starts with the household of faith. It does. We start, yeah. But when was the last time you did something for somebody within your community, outside of your church community, for the neighbor? You get to the mall, which we don't have, but you get to Pick and Pay. And you see an old lady there with two bags and it's too heavy for her and she can't get it in the car. Just help her. Just help her. Help Uncle Don over the street, you know. Well, Uncle Don can help somebody over the street. You can. At 85 years old, you can do that, Uncle Don. The thing is this, that we need to be devoted to good works. And I think sometimes it's not good works that saves us. But once we have Christ, once we have the Spirit within us, we want to do things. The book of James is full of that. He says, show me your faith and I'll show you my good works. It's an overflow of what God has done within me. I want to do good works for people. So what are the things we shouldn't devote ourselves to? Hebrews 13:9. If we can get that. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. So in other words, strange and diverse teachings, don't devote yourselves to that. Seriously, people, we're a generation that can press a button and get 100 opinions, thousands of opinions on Facebook, on WhatsApp, on Google, you know, Google God, I don't know, dear Wikipedia, what should I do? All of these things, diverse and strange teachings. YouTube, the stuff that's out there, I tell you, it's not profitable. It's not good. And people, be very careful that you're not led astray by these diverse and strange teachings. Again, we come back to orthodoxy. We come back to the plumb line of the Word of God. What is it? What does the Word say? When there's things that people start moving into heresy and they start teaching strange things like that Satan does not exist and, you know, and hell does not exist and, you know, and Jesus, yeah, there's strange stuff. And it's been happening for centuries. And the church has always come back. And there were these multiple times that the church had to sit together and say, what is it that we believe? So if you've grown up in the Inge Kerk, you said every Sunday, one of the most beautiful things that I can ever say, ek glo in God die Vader, die almagtige skepper van die hemel en aarde, gekruisig en gestorwe. You say that stuff. You've said it a bazillion times. Some of you are like sitting there, yeah, I remember that. It's like, I remember the vlaglied. Nooit of your kinders, wat trou is de vrou, wat beteken jou vlag in Suid-Afrika. Random. I don't know. But it's kind of built in me. I don't know. I know my machtsnummer in the army. Yeah. I don't know. Random. Totally. I know. Totally random. I told you that the voices confirm I'm okay and two of them speak English. It's okay. I'm okay. But we remember these things, but these are creeds and things that we have said that we believe. We make these confessions and we say, this is what I believe. And I want to say that sometimes we don't stick to that stuff. The basics. We need to come back to the basics again. Stop listening to the strange teachings that's out there. What is the other thing we shouldn't commit ourselves to? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 4 says this. Nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Moenie strei en beklei nie. get off Facebook. Seriously, sometimes the stuff that I see that people are arguing about, it's the easiest place to have a virtual punch. It's easy. You sit in your perched position behind your desk and you punch people that you don't even know. Because it's easy today. Everybody has got a voice. It's called Facebook. Everybody's got a voice now. As long as you have a profile, you don't even have to, you can lie about your profile. And you can still say stuff about people, whatever you feel like. That's called endless genealogies. And myths. Overal stories. That's what he says, don't devote yourselves to that stuff. I remember, growing up as a young Christian, reading every single book about the end of the world, 2000, Y2K, and all that kind of stuff. Still, 19 years later, we still haven't ended. Blood moons. Not even going to go into that. That word, endless genealogies, the New Living Translation calls it spiritual pedigrees. I love that. Spiritual pedigrees. Well, I know more than you, brother. I've been to theological seminary. seminary. Okay. I'm done. Let me read this quote quickly, and when we're going to pray. Matthew Henry writes this. He says, also take care, and he quotes the scripture. He says, also take care to prevent their regarding fables and endless genealogies and strife of words. This is often repeated in these two epistles. And he says in Timothy, it's often repeated, as well as in the epistle to Titus. As among the Jews, there were some who brought Judaism into Christianity. So among the Gentiles, there were some who brought paganism into Christianity. And basically what is being said, Paul saying is, take heed of these. Watch against them. Or they will be the corrupting and ruining of religion among you. For they minister questions rather than edifying. When you have more questions, when you walk away from a book, and you have more questions than answers, you need to be very, very careful. Because that book is just sowing discord. That's all it's doing. That which ministers questions is not for edifying. That which gives occasion for doubtful disputes pulls down the church rather than builds it up. So therefore, we need to persist in the word. We need to persist in apostolic and prophetic oversight and input. We need to persist in fellowship no matter if people offend me or hurt me, which also will lead me that I will persist in submitting myself to biblical, qualified, and properly appointed leaders. I run the race with endurance, Paul says. I persist in prayer till I see the breakthrough. Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. I persist in breaking bread till we see hearts changed and remember the body of Christ. Let's close our eyes this morning. Yes. Yes, please do. Please do.
Yeah, please. Just the thing about motivation for devotion. Something got to motivate me to be devoted. For myself, the first thing is the reward. There's a reward. Yes. Am I right? So thinking deep down in my heart, why do I devote myself, my whole life, to Jesus? Because I love Him, yes, but there's a reward. In Revelation, Jesus says, for those who are victorious and does my will till the end. That's keeping on, keeping on. That's being devoted. There's a reward. Wanneer laas het Jesus aan het gedink? I will give to eat from the tree of life. There's a reward. So this is in my filter system. It's in my sight the whole time. There's a reward. Keeping on, keeping on. Come on, being devoted to the church. There's a reward. It's a powerful word this morning. But you have to find the motivation for being devoted. And the one thing is the reward. praise Jesus, there's a reward. But there's another thing that's maybe even more important than the reward, and that's the risk. So I want to read you a scripture, if I may, Stefan. In Hebrews, it says, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age." It sounds like a Christian on fire. "And who have fallen away." There's a risk. You know what? Sometimes you need a new battery in your car. You can't charge it anymore. They test it in the garage and they say the deep inside, it's dead, my broer. I can't even align it. Jy het 'n nuwe battery nodig. There's a risk for us as Christians. Maybe someday you get so cold, you have fallen so far away that you can't get charged anymore. That's the risk. So for me, motivation for devotion is it's a very good word this morning. Being devoted means just to give my life to God every day. For the reward and for the risk. Because ons kan nie ons harte vertrou nie, is ek reg? Ons moet die Here vertrou vir ons lewens. So stay devoted. Just an encouragement from my side, yeah. This is not just something you have to do. There's a reward for it. And there's a risk on the other side. Because we're human beings. We're frail people. Amen? Thanks, hey.
So Len didn't know, I have a part two to this preach. Psalm 5, David actually, he prays and he says, "I start early in the morning." Go read it in this week. And then he mentions a few things that is derived from it. There's the scripture. In actual fact, from about verse 7 to the end, you'll see some rewards of being committed, of being pressing in and persisting in prayer. You see, he says he finds a place, he finds a quiet place, he finds it in the morning. And he also says, "I do it daily." He says, "I plan daily." You see, we come right back to the person again, right back to you and me, working out your salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. I know we're going to stand one day, I'm going to stand there for all of you, and God's going to call me in, Jesus is going to call me in, and I'm going to stand there for my wife, and I'm going to stand there proxy for my children, but ultimately, you cannot say, "I didn't hear," or "that guy didn't teach me." There's something that you need to be devoted to in yourself. And there is a reward. I'm going to quickly mention them for you, and then we're going to pray. There's mercy. There's leadership. There is faith. He actually mentions all these things. There is joy. There's protection. There's blessings. And then there's grace and favor. These are the things. These are the rewards that we have. And they are beautiful. That we're keeping on. And there is that risk. I tell you right now. Absolutely. Every single day. Count the cost. He says, before you enter, for those of you in the army, you understand, once you've given up civilian life, you've given up a civilian life. You're now enrolled. If you just leave there, what is going to happen? You're going to get charged. It's called absence without leave. AWOL. Too many Christians AWOLing. Let's close our eyes this morning. Thanks, Len. Thanks, Etty.